All right. This is kind of stupid.
All right. I majored in stupid.
All right.
You got a doctorate in that.
Do you think you'd be able to pull a sock out of your mouth without using your hands or feet? So I stuff a sock in there.
What is this, like a hostage situation?
Apparently. Can you...
The tape across your mouth?
No. You have a sock in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Can you get it out? I'm assuming it can't be as simple as push it out with your tongue.
This is kind of like, well, not to spoil, but no, I won't say it.
Yeah, you'll okay. have to gum it out. You know, like just, yeah, like just keep
or
chewing.
Or find something sharp and like hook it on something.
But your
what do you think,
are
Briones?
Your hands tied?
No, but you can't use your hands or your feet.
But we can use anything else.
How big is a sock? Is it a little footy?
Or yeah, like a sock.
It's one sock. No, let's assume that the sock is stuffed all the way in there.
Is it a knee-high sock or a little footy?
Footy.
A footy?
Oh, you got a footy? Easy. Oh, that's easy.
How do you get it out?
You just spit it out.
Yeah, just spit
no, no,
it out.
No. Let's say spit it out is not, you've got to creatively, like, gum it out is
yeah,
like,
I have to gum it out.
Chew
it out.
Yeah. Briones, how are you getting the sock out?
Yeah, I'll gum it out or with the tongue somehow.
Or if you. Do it, Jorge.
Take off on, Jorge.
Gum it out. Gum it out, Jorge.
Let me take off my socks and stuff it in your mouth.
Hell no,
yeah, come on, Briones. Michael's got an extra sock
yeah,
today.
Man, that's good.
Come try it.
Bergman?
I'd find something like a door handle or something. You know, one of those. Like,
well, how are you going to use a door handle?
Like the door handle
the back
here.
Kind you could hook it on.
Yeah, you could hook it on and then pull out.
But if you were to gum it out, what would it sound like?
Sound like Rocco.
The general consensus.
Now, is that
it
true you're not nice to Rocco
yeah,
the dog?
Yeah, why are you not nice to Rocco the dog?
I thought you liked Rocco.
I am very nice to Rocco. I feed him. I give him
bulldog, right?
Bulldog, English bulldog. I just don't like animals on the furniture, even though he sits on our furniture. So I put down Jorge's with me on that one too.
Reagan passed away recently, but Reagan was allowed on all furniture except the living room couch.
Because,
Lisa would chew him off the couch.
Because when the animals are on your furniture, they get up and they leave stains, right?
Not necessarily. My dogs don't leave stains.
Come on.
No.
They drool. Sometimes they poop.
Well,
and they
bulldogs drool.
Oh, bulldogs do drool.
You know,
you're right.
The boongie rubs up on the furniture and there's stains back. Yeah, come on, man.
Boongie.
Come on, you know how it is,
that
mate.
That came up last
so,
week.
So Rocco's on all our furniture, but I just don't let him on my couch.
On
my
your
room.
Couch. But it sounds like Julie takes better care of him than you do.
She takes care of better him than the kids, than Roman.
Yeah.
She's always cleaning that dog and wiping his paws.
Who's a better uncle to Roman, Mikey or Clay?
Probably Mikey.
Mikey sees him more, right?
Mikey sees him more, and he was scared of Mikey at first, boy, because Mikey has a deep voice like James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
So when Mikey would talk, Roman would get all nervous and cry and run to me.
Now, Roman is how old now?
12 and a half months.
Okay, so year-old Roman,
right.
That's Trace's son, do Roman and Rocco get along?
No.
Rocco
does not like Roman. Roman
because Rocco realizes he's no longer the center of attention
sure.
when
exactly.
Roman's there.
Exactly, he's jealous. So Roman will come around Rocco, and I'm always right next to him, make sure, because, you know, the animals are little babies. You just don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm always right there, and as Roman approaches Rocco, because Roman wants to touch him, Rocco will go, a little low growl.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me, kid.
Sophie used to go on the attack.
Really?
Like, she went
with little kids.
Fredo. No, after Fredo.
The other dog.
The other dog. She was like, this is my house, and you're just living in it.
Yeah.
That was Sophie's attitude.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you guys something I asked Clay. How much should teams be willing to get? I don't think the Lakers earn it for Durant, so I can ask you guys this. How much should teams be willing to give up for a 31-year-old Kevin Durant?
31? He's going to be 34.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking, he's going to be 34, and AD's going to be 31.
That's a great question, Ireland, and I've been thinking about this, and I believe.
Like, we've heard the Suns turn down the idea of two number ones, Mikhail Bridges, Cam Johnson, and somebody else.
I love Kevin Durant. He, like Clay said, he is a stud. He is a championship player, and if you get him, you will probably elevate yourself to the next level, but not if you give away half your team.
Right.
I think. If I'm the Nets, I kind of think the Nets are overvaluing him. If I'm the Nets, I would gladly take Mikal Bridges, number one pick, and DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with that deal.
Because you know what screwed everything up? Rudy Gobert.
Yeah,
right.
The Wolves overpaid.
Right. They got so much. Utah got so much for Rudy Gobert.
Such a pay. What, they get four number ones?
Yeah. Five, if you count the guy from this year's draft. Yeah. And Mace, what happens in the NBA is it's a copycat league, so the Nets immediately say, well, if Rudy Gobert is worth that, then Kevin Durant is worth much more. But that's not how it works.
Right.
I think, Michael, the rest of the league looked at that Rudy Gobert trade and said, the Wolves are idiots.
Yeah.
They gave up way too much.
Right.
And so now we're in a stalemate.
Here's what I say. If I'm Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, go pound sand, man. Play for us. We're paying you for the next 4 years. We build everything around you. Everything is Durant focused.
But if his heart's not in it.
But he's so much of a professional, Michael. Yeah. I think he would do what Kobe did.
Remember, Kobe
said, trade me anywhere, trade me to Pluto. And Dr. Buss said, give me some time. And Kobe showed up. He's professional.
Aaron Rodgers is another one.
They traded for Gasol. Boom.
Rodgers wanted out. They said, nope, you're our quarterback.
But mentally, it puts such a pall over your team, knowing that your star doesn't want to be there.
But I think the pall is caused by Kyrie. Kyrie was the one that, if you talk to people, they say really messed around because he didn't get vaccinated, he wouldn't do anything. That's why, as a Laker fan, I'm kind of secretly hoping we get Kyrie, because I think Kyrie's going to look at this like a new lease on life.
And if Kyrie is forced to stay in Brooklyn, Mace, he's got to play his butt off because he's in a contract year.
He
has to ball out NBA level. All NBA level. He can't go there and be sulking and missing games, because if Kyrie wants another $200 million deal, he's got to prove to people he can still be that guy.
Mace, if you were another team, how much would you be willing to give for Durant?
Put your package together. Obviously, you're going to be two players and what?
Like I heard today, I was watching Jalen and Jacoby today, and they said, I would give up Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and two number ones.
Right.
What? Toronto, too much, isn't it?
Scottie Barnes is really tough to
get. Pascal Siakam and two number ones.
But Siakam you can live with trading.
If you're Toronto, you do that.
Scottie Barnes is real. That's tough
trade. Don't the Nets win that trade? Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and two number ones for Durant?
Toronto's just got to be patient, man. They're building something special. They don't break that up, what they've got up there now. That's crazy.
And Barnes is like really, really good. Barnes is like Scottie Pippen, but better on offense.
If Durant was 28, you might think about it, but he is 34, coming up on 34.
But still, if you add him right now, a championship contender.
That's what you give up.
Let's just say one of the names that...
Phoenix? Chris Paul, Booker, KD, and then a bunch of guys?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're a threat.
Oh, come on. They had the best record in the league last year. Now you're adding Durant?
Well, Chris Paul's 38.
Yeah,
Booker and Durant, and then a bunch
of guys. Wait, so you'd have CP3, Booker, and Durant? That's a great team, man.
That's a great team. Team wins the title.
Who else is on the team? Everybody else is gone.
Well, they're like us. No depth. We've traded all of our depth.
If we get Kyrie, our team is pretty much going to be AD, LeBron, and Kyrie.
Cam Johnson's gone. Mikal Bridges is gone. Ayton's gone.
What about Minnesota?
Well, they're done.
KD don't want to go
now
to Minnesota.
Now that they've made their trade, they have no assets.
Was the thing.
And Brooklyn did ax him for Karl Towns in return.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah, they asked for both of them. That's way too much.
They're too young.
Way too much.
By the way, have you guys watched the Sandler movie Hustle?
No, I have not yet watched it. Is it good? Is it worth watching?
And Anthony Edwards is really good in it.
Oh, Anthony Edwards. He's an actor, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be special. You don't want to give him up. He's too young.
Yeah.
Got too much future. I love KD, but it has to be the right package. You can't give up half your team, because otherwise he'll just be stuck in back at being a playoff contender, not a championship contender.
Right. All right, so Michael, Friday night.
Oh, yes, coming up.
Friday night.
I've been hearing about it.
West Covina Sportsplex. Yes. It is Team Mace versus Team Cappy. Mm. Now, Michael, my dream scenario is that you show up.
Friday night?
Friday night.
I'll be at Angel Stadium.
Dodgers have Friday and Saturday games at Angel Stadium.
Just down the road.
I'll drive there, 20 minutes away.
Damn. Here's my lineup.
Give him the lineups and see who he thinks is going to win.
Okay, so this is my starting lineup. Taylor, who I don't know if you've met, he's the producer, Tall Taylor. He's leading off and playing center field. Brady Cates, who is one of our interns, Mark Cates' son.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
He's going to DH. Beto Duran.
Oh, Beto, yeah.
Who's going to play shortstop? Yes. Travis Rogers.
This is Murderous Row.
Travis Rogers, first base.
He played at UC Santa Barbara. He's a baseball player.
Left field, Matt Burke, who's one of our sales guys. We had to replace Lindsey.
6'6", 220, and he's 25.
Didn't he play center for the Vikings at one time?
Why not?
There was a guy by that name. Yeah. Michael Funchess, second base.
Oh, Funchess. No, he's a soy boy. That ain't going to help.
What's that mean?
Soft.
You call that a soy boy?
They should be working at Starbucks.
Soy boy.
Soy latte.
Dr. Clapper catching.
Oh, yeah. He reminds me of Yogi Berra.
Every single batter that comes up. How are you?
Exactly. Dr. Clapper, hey, batter, yeah. Swing.
Then me out in right field where I can do the least damage, mm-hmm. and Ramona Shelburne pitching.
Oh, yeah, Ramona, yes.
All right, so that's Mason's team. Now, do you have Caps team or no?
Yeah, who's on Caps team? I don't care who you got. Ain't nobody beating that team.
No, I originally thought, Mason did a smart thing.
Yeah.
He originally had Lindsay and Ramona on his team, and he replaced them with Brady, because Ramona just gave birth.
She can't hit.
And Lindsay's on injured reserve,
yep.
So that's how he got Matt in.
Yeah.
So I have Team Cappy's actual lineup.
All right, go.
The actual order of the lineup.
Read
line.
It. Okay. Read it. Yes.
Read it.
So leading off is Mario in center field, Mario Ruiz.
Oh, he's a model. He can't play.
He's a model.
Oh, he's athletic.
Handsome
I am batting second and in third base.
That must be a typo.
There's only one great Jewish baseball player. That's Hank Greenberg.
Yeah, that's it. Bergman.
Sean Green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Point.
Clinton Yates at shortstop, batting third.
Clinton claims he's the best player on either team.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Clinton is serious about this game.
Kirk Morrison at first base and batting cleanup.
Football player?
He's
pick for MVP.
Really? Yeah, I think he's going to be the guy that hits the first home run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Producer Emily is batting fifth and is catching.
Mm-hmm.
She's batting too high up in the order.
Yeah, Kurt Sandoval is in left field and batting sixth. Mm-hmm. Jorge Briones in right field, batting seventh.
Ooh, Jorge, you played growing up, Jorge?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Why'd they put you in right field?
And why'd they bat you seventh behind Emily?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want Emily.
Alan Sliwa at second base and batting eighth.
Oh,
Slee. And Scotty Capp is going ninth.
Mason's lineup's more potent.
See, once you added Matt Burke and Brady, now it is a much stronger lineup.
I agree. I think they're now. I think the favorite has switched.
No.
I originally thought you were going to get destroyed. Now I think you're the favorite.
Well, now I think it's even.
I think you're the favorite.
No, man,
you think I'm the favorite?
If everyone plays to the best of their ability, you're going to win.
What ability do any of us have? Yeah, I did get younger.
I think, Kirk and DeMarco. Is DeMarco playing?
DeMarco's playing. Yeah. He's on my team.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Those football players are too tight. They can't swing.
Me and Bergman are going to the cage tonight.
Yeah.
Right after the show, yeah.
But a slow pitch softball.
They have a slow
pitch. Oh, they got a slow pitch.
You want to go, Jorge? You can go. They got a slow pitch machine.
Yeah, it's all about the arc.
Yeah, all about the arc. Momo's going to get that arc down for us. Going to get that arc down. All right, coming up next for you, new commercial, very odd commercial, funny commercial, starring Patrick Mahomes. We got that coming up for you. Plus, I don't think we quite filled out the conversation about Adam Silver and what he had to say. And plus, we've got some interesting play-by-play from the Mets coming up that raises a good question about baseball announcers and announcers in general. It's all coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Homemade signs. Do we anticipate homemade signs, or is that just a Chris Morales?
I'm sure someone will bring one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be a sign, don't you?
They should.
A sign or two.
Please bring signs.
Bring signs. How many people? What's the capacity of this stadium we're playing in?
A lot. I don't know the exact number.
You want to give me a number, or
we're expecting
like 17,505. You like they?
Yeah, 17,505.
Yeah, they don't have
17,505.
I think we have.
No,
we
that's
already
the
have
number of people that fit in the fabulous forum.
Oh,
yeah. No, but there should be about 1,000 people.
1,000 people, but it's open to the public.
It's open to the public. Everybody can come. Yeah,
we've got a bar in my dugout.
Excellent.
Yeah. We got a bar in my dugout and a little smoking zone.
That's not right.
You know what's wrong? Bergman immediately taunts me today. By the way, Michael Thompson's hanging out. So he said, Google your name. Or no, you Googled my name, and up came the goalie still after all this time.
For Wikipedia,
after
the first
all this
name.
Time.
Right
first there. Name. Now, if I Google Michael Thompson's name.
Well, but you have to spell it correctly.
M-Y-C-H-A-L.
Yeah, if you spell it correctly, Michael will come up right away.
Michael Thompson. Is you. Yes, of course you're Michael Thompson.
By the way, you know that's Andrew Wiggins' girlfriend's name?
What?
Michael.
And how does she spell it?
Just the way I spell it.
No kidding.
Wow.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's
it's
nice.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's the second girl I've met with that spelling.
You know what comes up if I Google John Ireland?
The actor John
I'm
Ireland?
I'm one of Hollywood's big guns.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know what I got to do to change that. It pisses me off when
I'm
I see
not
the
even,
there.
He's not I'm even not even anymore. One of the top two John Irelands.
I'm number two in the Steve Mason department, which is sad.
So you're second next to the
hockey goalie, who I don't even think he plays anymore.
Was he a great goalie, or was he like an average?
He bounced around. I remember him from Columbus, some other places, but I don't know why that is.
So you want to know what the worst thing? If you Google Greg Bergman, it's not me that comes up first. Actually, it is right now. But there's another guy named Greg Bergman, and he is a film producer, and he filmed a documentary.
Okay,
it's called Big Like Me. One man's journey to enlarge his self.
What do you mean himself? Like to grow taller?
No.
I don't
to
think
to enjoy his manhood?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh. So that's what you're known for?
That's what you get when you Google my name.
By the
name.
Way, there's an extended director's cut.
So what did he do?
Right. Bigger like me.
You go to CVS and order them pills, right? That's all you got to do. Or go to Amazon and order the pills. Right.
So early in the days of Mason in Ireland.
What kind of journey is that?
We had this doctor who ran, and he advertised on the station, and it was a penile enlargement clinic.
Yes.
And so the ads that this guy would run would be a girl would come on and say, he was the nicest guy I ever dated, but it was just too small. And then another girl would come on, or another guy would come on and go, he played 4 games of racquetball and never even took a shower. So we turned it into Steve Mason. He played 4 games of racquetball and never even took a shower. John Ireland. He's the nicest guy I ever dated, but it was just too small. And that was how we would start the
What's
show.
Weird is they asked us if we would endorse
the doctor. Was the largest amount anyone has ever offered me to do an endorsement.
Yep. Did you do it?
Nope.
Why?
Nope.
Me either.
And we're lucky we didn't. That guy got, he lost his medical license.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That guy, somebody came out with a crooked you-know-what, and that was it.
That's,
yeah, but he would have got paid before that happened.
Yeah, but then we would have been tied to a quack.
Yeah, tied to a quack. All right, so did we commercial, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. Sent this earlier today. So Patrick Mahomes is doing a Coors Light commercial.
Okay.
And does this need setup, Bergman? I don't fully get this bit, but this needs no setup at all. This is Patrick Mahomes, Coors Light.
This summer, we tapped star quarterback Patrick Mahomes to be in a promo for Coors Light. Turns out, we overlooked the fact that he can't actually promote Coors Light.
It's a flashlight.
That's right. It's a flashlight, not a beer. Introducing the Coors Light. Coming in at 12 or 16 fluid ounces. Nothing beats the sturdy feeling of the Coors Light in your hand. The Coors Light is 100% flashlight and 0% adult beverage. It's perfect for camping trips or those warm summer nights spent with great friends. The Coors Light is made with high-quality steel, so it feels cold as the Rocky Mountains. To use a random analogy.
It's a quality flashlight.
This summer, sit back, chill, and crack open the Coors Light. Get your the Coors Light today at thecoorslight.com while supplies last.
So,
all proceeds go to the 15 and the Mahomes Foundation. Coors Light, the official beer of everything unofficial.
There you go. I'm confused. Is it a searchlight or spotlight thing?
It's
or is
a flashlight.
Flashlight, or sounds like it's kind of both.
Why can't he advertise in beer
I guess they're prohibited from advertising alcohol.
No, you can't. In the NFL?
I guess. That's why.
Damian Lillard does Modelo.
Right, but he's not in the NFL.
Oh, so NFL players can't do it?
Well, you and I are restricted in weird ways.
There used to be a time
that
Ireland,
you and I can promote. Like, for example, Michael and I can't do any car ads unless they're for Toyota or Lexus.
There used to be a time where active athletes could not advertise in alcohol commercials. But I've seen other current athletes doing alcohol commercials. But there used to be a time you weren't allowed to. So I don't know if it's still that way in the NFL because I know
maybe
Damian
there's
Lillard.
An official beer of the NFL and you're not allowed to endorse
Coors Light, the unofficial.
The unofficial. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe that's what it
that's
is.
What it is. Yeah,
because Modelo is a Chase Center, and obviously Damian doesn't play. Damian Lillard doesn't play for the Warriors, but they do have Modelo Bear there. So maybe that is what the case is.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes. All right, so, John, we were listening to some play-by-play from the Mets game last night. This is Gary Cohn and
Keith Hernandez.
Okay.
And I want to – how long is this, Bergman? Is this like a minute?
A little over a minute.
Okay, a little over a minute.
Baseball announcers doing the Mets game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And listen to the content here.
First out. Now, I know what Tyler Matzik bobblehead. Doesn't quite have the cachet of a Keith Hernandez bobblehead like they gave out on Saturday at Citi Field. But you know, for these Braves fans, you know, Matzik was a big hero for them last year.
And it'll be hard to match with the Gary Cohn bobblehead when it comes out.
That's not till September. We could be in a pennant race.
You're going to be in the middle. We're going to connect to you, Ronnie and I.
Is that how that works? I still have not seen that. I couldn't figure out. Is it because there's no connecting device on your bobblehead? Are they magnetic?
I have no idea.
Adam Duvall takes outside ball one. Nobody has clued us in on how it works. I figured it would be like, you know, a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle. But because that's what we really are in real life, you, me, and Ron.
Yes.
Three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle.
Not to belabor a point, but I just heard from our lovely Ellie from SNY, our PR.
Yeah.
They are magnetic.
Magnetic, just like your personality. Slider lowered into Arcia, and it's 1-1.
Tell that to my two ex-wives.
Well.
Okay, tell that to my ex-wives. So one of the things that jumps out, first of all, you know, the ex-wives thing. How many? You don't have any ex-wives. The friends of mine that have ex-wives are so unhappy.
Why?
Because they're paying them.
Yeah. Still paying them.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, still paying them. But one of the things that we talked about here was that baseball announcers, you guys both do NBA games. Do you think MLB games are the hardest sport to call?
It's the most time to fill.
Right.
Which is why Vin Scully was so incredible.
That's amazing.
He did it by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even with Joe and Oral, I mean, Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser, Joe sometimes coaches up Oral on hip hop lyrics and all kinds of
stuff. That's why it's easier to do baseball because you could just go off on all kinds of tangents in between pitches. Where Ireland does, I'll try to do play by play for a couple of possessions.
No, we've heard you do play by play.
Don't?
Yeah.
No, he's good.
No, we heard him do play by play.
Didn't like it? Well, anyway, the point is.
I believe you use the word some guy from Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't know how Ireland does it for like 48 minutes.
No, it's
minutes
hard. It is hard. It's more laser focused. Like, I also think hockey's really difficult that way.
Yeah.
Puck moving nonstop.
Yeah.
But baseball, you've got to fill time.
Yeah, but you got a lot of stories, you know, stats you can
pull
up.
Where do they get all the stories? Like, last night I think Joe told a story about, Taylor Hicks. No, not Taylor Hicks. Who's the pitcher?
Taylor Hicks from American Idol?
Yeah, no, Hicks.
Jordan Hicks.
And he told some stories about Jordan Hicks. I'm like, why did he talk to Jordan Hicks on game day? Or how does he get these stories? How do you get stories?
It's like studying for a final.
Okay.
So before you do every game, you go over the list of the people that are going to be on the other team, and you Google them, and then stuff comes up. And if you find something funny, you put it in.
Right.
That's it. That's how you say it. By the way, Morales just sent me the question you asked a minute ago. NFL players are not allowed to appear in commercials or advertisements, drinking beer, or directly endorsing a beer.
Ah.
In fact, NFL players are only allowed to have their likeness appear in beer ads beginning in 2019.
Boy, don't you think this is like right on the edge? I mean,
right,
he's standing there holding a flashlight that says Coors Light on it.
Right.
He's basically doing the beer commercial without doing the beer commercial.
Isn't this kind of like archaic? They're acting like guys don't drink beer. We play in the league. Come on. We're all adults here.
Well, no, I think it's more like sponsorship. It's more like, you know, if you're the official beer sponsor of the NBA or the NFL, I can see why the league would say, oh, no, you can't advertise another beer because we already have an official beer.
Are they allowed to advertise that sponsor's beer? Can they even do that?
Damian
Lillard's doing for the NBA?
I don't know. I don't have all the answers. It looks like I'm the kind of guy that would have all the answers.
Yes, because you go all the Rams games. You know everything.
Either way, it was a very funny commercial. I just thought it was clever.
Mace, can I do something coming up next?
Okay.
I have a question that Michael is uniquely qualified to answer, but we can all answer it.
We'll do that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Don't forget, Friday night, West Covina Sportsplex. Want to see you guys out there. It is free. It is open to the public. Our wiffle ball bash and then our all-star softball game featuring everybody here at 7 and 7:10. All our shows broadcasting live starting at 10 in the morning with Travis and Slee wrapping up with Shidano and Cap at 7 o'clock. Everybody in attendance has got a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic. And special thanks to our partners on this event, your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with Hyundai.
I got a joke for you guys.
Good. Go on, Michael Thompson joke.
Since I was considered the funniest guy on the show.
Amen.
Tell me what you think of this. So I bought a ticket to a magic show the other day, right? And it was canceled. Mm-hmm. You know why?
No.
The magician disappeared. Come on, Nate. You know you want to laugh.
That was not one of your better
that
ones.
That was not a funny joke.
I liked it.
The magician disappeared. Magic. That the is, magician.
No, I get it. Magic disappeared.
But right over your head.
It's there. No, we get it.
It's in my head. It just didn't
I dumped it.
Equate to
it. You didn't like it, Jorge? What's wrong with you people? You got no funny bones.
You have a lot of good jokes, especially on Twitter, but that one
All right. So
tough audience.
You guys know who the Mad Dog is, right? Chris Russo.
Of course. Yeah.
Every week he appears once on First Take.
Yep. He's
so
great.
He can yell at Stephen A. Leonard DiCaprio, right. So, Michael, the other day, they asked him, Mason hates Mount Rushmore questions.
Oh, God, but, I hate Mount Rushmore.
But they asked him, and his answer, I'll be surprised if you change any of his answers.
Okay.
That's right, but you might. They said, 4 best sitcoms of all time.
All time.
Ever. So here's the 4 he came up with. Mm-hmm. I Love Lucy, All in the Family, Seinfeld, and MASH. Mm. How many of those would you keep?
1. I like them all, but 1.
You would keep All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Who would your other 3 be?
My other 3, top 3. Everybody's going to be different, of course. But my other top 3 are Sanford and Son.
Okay.
Oh, man. Fred and Esther. Oh, unbelievable.
Michael Mace will randomly send me, just to make me laugh, he'll send me clips from old San Francisco. He's probably sent me 20 of them over the years.
Yep.
Not one of them could air today.
Would you?
Really?
Everyone would get several people fired
if
you aired any of them today. Yeah. Like Red Fox used to use the N-word.
Unbelievable.
He used to call other black people like crazy names that you could never get away with. But they're out there. Okay, so that's number 2.
So All in the Family, Sanford and Son. My other 2, Mason will probably roll his eyes. Honeymooners.
You can hear them rolling already.
Honeymooners.
Yeah. Honeymooners.
And the Jeffersons.
How about from this century?
Wait a minute.
Oh, come
Michael.
On. See, there you go.
I am going to. I would have lost my house because I would have bet one of the ones that I had, you would have had. Mm-hmm. How is Curb Your Enthusiasm not one of the 4?
Absolutely.
I would have bet. If somebody would have said to me, will Michael have Frasier in his top 4? I would say, of course he will. And you had neither one.
Yeah, they're all there. They're all candidates, but you got only room for 4.
What's your yours, Ireland?
I think you and I are going to have 2 that are the same.
Okay.
The 2 I think that are the same are Veep and 30 Rock.
Yes.
They are both.
I didn't think you'd have 30 Rock. I love 30
but,
Rock.
But by the way, go on Hulu when you're bored one night and go down that rabbit hole and you'll watch for hours.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. I have Veep, 30 Rock, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and just almost as I didn't love this show as much as others, but it's been so good for so long, I put The Simpsons in there.
Yeah, I put All in the Family in there. I went Veep, All in the Family, Curb, and 30 Rock. Curb has got to be there.
Curb, yeah. Michael, I give you a chance to reconsider, you'd put Curb in, wouldn't you?
And take out who? The Jeffersons, the Honeymooners, or Sanford?
Honeymooners got to come out.
Really?
Yeah, Honeymooners.
You can't
seriously tell.
Hey, you can't send your wife straight to the moon, Alice.
I know. You can't do that anymore, but I don't know.
Can you imagine having a character now, a husband that threatens to punch his wife?
Unbelievable.
No.
Bergman, exactly. What are your 4?
So I like a lot of those. Curb Your Enthusiasm is definitely on there. I'm going to say Scrubs, which I thought was a fantastic
show.
Parks and Rec is definitely
up
there.
Yeah, I never understood Parks.
Watch from the second season on. Yeah. It is one of the funniest shows
ever. Skip the first season
ever.
Altogether?
Yeah, you don't need anything from the first season.
But what you guys don't respect, which drives me crazy about you New Age people.
New Age.
What was your 4th one there?
The Wire.
Okay. The Wire isn't a comedy?
Oh, comedy. So I don't know why I was doing
it. Greatest sitcom, The Wire.
I loved it when Kima got shot.
Yeah. There's some people like you don't respect.
I was just trying to think of a 4th
real fast. Appreciate Mace.
Yeah.
The Honeymooners. You know when they did that show, that was in front of a live audience, one takes. They didn't rehearse. It was a live show. It was live. Do it live! And they didn't mess up. They didn't, let's cut and do it again.
Well, do it live!
You don't respect that.
Don't tell me what I don't respect.
Michael, to take your point, though, one night, and I thought this was going to be one of the highlights of my life, somebody gave me like second row seats to a taping of Seinfeld. They said, be there at 7:30.
Mm.
I got there at 7:30. We actually left.
Left at 11?
No, no. We left at midnight, yeah. And it was still going.
There you go.
Super, super do it again. Boring retakes. To watch a TV taping.
Yeah, retakes. Yeah. But the honeymoon
is the key to it. The key to it is what Michael pointed out. You got to go to a live show. Like, if you get invited to go to the Tonight Show,
go to that.
Go to that.
Or Real Time with Bill Maher,
right.
Live.
Right.
Happens
boom.
In real
1 hour,
time.
You're in, you're out.
That's what's so unique about the Honeymooners. It was live.
Well, everything was live in those days,
exactly.
Michael. I don't know if you know that, but every single show was live. I'm not sure why you're singling out the Honeymooners. Jackie Gleason, great. I mean, unbelievably.
The timing.
If you've never seen The Hustler, great friggin' movie.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
So, Michael, this is we teed up this story specifically for you. So there is a brand new project that's going to come out. It's directed by Rob Zombie, who does a lot of horror movies, really extreme horror movies. And he is doing an origin story for the Munsters. And it is about
Fred Gwynn, Utes.
Yes.
It is about when Herman and Lily met and had their engagement leading up to the Munsters. But it's supposed to be violent and gruesome and all that stuff. Is that something you're in on? Because the original show was in black and white,
right.
Which is your preferred manner of viewing,
right?
It was
a comedy.
So it was a comedy.
So this was going to be what, like a horror film?
Yeah, it's good. Bergman, didn't you have the impression it's going to be a horror film?
Yeah, it's by
a
Rob Zombie.
Film starring Lily and Herman.
It's a horror love story. It's a horror love story, yes.
We don't know more than horror love story.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Even though it's Herman and Lily.
Yeah, I like the old Munsters format better.
Which came first, the Munsters or the Addams Family?
Munsters, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because one inspired the other, right? Yeah.
John Astin was in the Addams Family, and Fred Gwynn was in the Munsters. I think it was the Munsters.
Yeah, I think the Munsters was first.
For some reason, I think the
Addams Family
was
first.
Here's
something none of us saw coming. A tweet. I give Michael a hard time about a lot of stuff, but he is dead on right about the Honeymooners. Good job, MT. Mm-hmm. Chris Morales.
There you go, see?
Of course, Chris Morales.
Somebody who appreciates real humor, not this canned stuff like you guys that had to have canned applause signs and everything.
I chose any shows that have canned applause signs.
You see a canned applause sign?
Well,
in
Seinfeld.
Here?
You had to, like you said, had to take
I didn't
it a
have Seinfeld
times.
On my list, but yeah, they had a canned. Did they have a canned applause? Yeah.
There you go, see? You didn't need enough for Jackie Gleason.
Curb was just on the streets.
Yeah.
All in the Family. No, they did have a laugh track.
Right, the great thing about Curb.
Really?
Yeah.
The great thing about Curb. No scripts. They have ideas.
Yeah.
Like they'll say, Mason and Ireland welcome Michael into the studio and give him a hard time about Clay.
Yeah.
Go.
That's how they do the show?
Yeah. And we had Richard Lewis on once.
On the fly?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my friend Sue Kalinske did an episode where she was playing. Actually, this was.
Larry was trying to convince people he was gay, right?
Well, I think Larry was trying to turn a lesbian.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Sue
played a lesbian,
played a
right?
lesbian
yeah.
who...
Which is interesting because Sue's not a
Sue's
lesbian.
Sue's not, and Larry tried to turn her, and I think ultimately it was Rosie O'Donnell that he turned.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
And what about the bow scene? That was all on the fly?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a concept.
Right.
So they'll say...
you're
going to say
this, I'm going to say this.
Larry, on the script it'll say, Larry walking through a park, and he sees... Two Japanese tourists, and one knocks over the other one's ice cream, and Larry approaches him.
Okay, and then they go from there.
Then go. Wow. I noticed you knocked over that man's ice cream, and he did a very deep bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all,
they
just wing
and
it.
They roll a lot.
Oh, they're good.
They roll a lot, because they'll say, okay, here's a free take, and then you just throw something crazy out there. So, they do
matter
that
of fact,
in a unique
Susie
way.
Essman, who Mace, you had on Culture Pop Podcast,
who
plays Jeff Garland's wife, Susie. Jeff Green's wife, Susie.
Oh, she's the best.
They said Larry and Jeff walk in, and Susie is mad that they were late. Go. And Susie goes, you idiots. You were late, and now we're going to be late to this play, and you've screwed up my whole day. Larry, it's all your fault, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then they go cut. And Larry walks up to her, and this is you talked to her about this in the Culture Pop podcast. They said to her, you're not being mean enough to Jeff.
Yep.
And she goes, you want me to call him names? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how far can I go? Farther than you think. Just go as far.
Yeah.
So she, you fat F, blah, blah, blah. And she said she felt bad the first couple of times.
They
said, and they kept saying, go farther, go more.
Yeah.
And so her character is now, as mean as oh, yeah. Susie B as mean as
something.
Possible.
Yeah, she is.
Remember the one with the doll's head? Oh, give me the effing doll's head.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic episode.
I noticed that when you apologized to this man, you gave him a rather deep bow, almost 90 degrees.
Yes. Yeah. I spilled ice cream, so I'm very sorry. So I apologized to him. Yes.
Yes. Now, the other night, a Japanese fellow apologized to me.
Yes.
But he only went down a few degrees, kind of like that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not apology to you. No, he was not sorry at all.
He wasn't sorry?
No. He a little dismissive of you.
Dismissive?
Yes.
I got a dismissive
yes.
bow?
Yes, a little bit bow.
Bow. I got.
Yes.
I got bow.
No bow would be better than that bow.
No bow better.
That is so great.
The kind of bow he was talking about rhymes with hit.
By the way, isn't it more impressive that it's ad-libbed now?
I got
that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
No bow would be better than that bow.
Than the blank bow.
Hey, Bobcat is coming up.
Birdman or Spam
Bobcat. Risk.
Spam Risk. We might change the name of it to Spam Risk.
Sure, let's do it.
Coming up Bobcat. Next, Bergman's got Bobcat, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. So, Greg Sankey is the commissioner of the SEC.
Yep.
And he wants to do something just absolutely ridiculous. Okay. According to Jeff Goodman, Sankey wants to take the one-bid leagues out of the NCAA tournament. So, for example, St. Peter's beating Kentucky this last year would not happen.
Right.
Why do you think Sankey is being so dumb?
Did he give a reason?
No.
I'm sure he thinks
it was Jeff Goodman.
His conference should have a whole bunch of teams.
No, I actually think it's the opposite. I love that the smaller conference get one bid and one bid only.
And they play to the death in their conference tournament and all that
stuff. Right, yeah, they want to take
that
out.
No.
One big league at all.
Sorry, Greg Sankey. I know you want all your money for your SEC, but some other schools deserve a piece of it, and we get some magical moments because some of these smaller schools are in the field.
The tournament wouldn't be the tournament without those small schools.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win that battle, Greg.
No, probably not. Especially since the Pac-12 is going to be one of those leagues soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One bid league.
Right. Could you imagine the Pac-12 being a one bid league?
Well, it might not be a 12 anymore. Eesh. It might be less.
Pac-6. So an absolute classic came out 31 years ago yesterday. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers all starred in Point Break. Michael Funchess.
Lori Petty.
Yeah, Lori Petty, too. Michael Funchess is in the back, so I'm hoping he's hearing this. But Michael Funchess yesterday said it was the most overrated movie in the history of cinema. Went really hard on it. He said he said it, not me. What do you have to say to Funchy about his take on Point Break?
Well, first of all, Funchess is an idiot. He's never even seen The Godfather.
He hasn't?
No. Boy. And second of all,
no, he's never made it.
Make
through
me a cappuccino.
Hey guys, I didn't call it the most overrated movie of all time.
The best
bad movie of all time.
Steve was in the room. Said worst
Funch,
movie in the history of
he
cinema.
Said
Funch,
best
I got five
movie,
bucks. I got five bucks in my pocket that I will give you if you can tell me what was the name of Keanu Reeves' character and where he played quarterback in the Rose Bowl.
Johnny Utah and was it Nebraska?
Oh, I had the five ready to hand you. Ohio State.
That's pretty good, though.
So close.
No, that's a great movie, though. Are you kidding me? It's
You put the Mask of the Presidents on? Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow directed that. Same person who directed The Hurt Locker. Unbelievable director.
Our guy J.C. McGinley in that movie, too? I think there's a lot of guys that we know in that movie.
But, yeah, that's not a bad movie. That's a good movie. Well, I wonder what the Rotten
Tomatoes
is. I can't
believe it's 31 years ago. You know, that was another dumb remake that the studios
did.
They did a remake, and it was terrible, and nobody watched it. You know they did a remake of Brian's song? How can you do a remake of Brian? Yeah, no one watched
Point
it.
Break, by the way, 70% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. It is not a bad movie. You said the best bad movie of all time.
Totally disagree that it's a
bad
movie.
I think it is a great movie.
I'm surprised
movie.
It's 31
movie.
Years old.
Yeah, 31 years old now.
Jeez, we're getting old.
Yeah, seriously.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Bergman's mom, Michael.
All right.
You like that? That's Jan Bergman right there.
Nice, sultry voice.
Okay, so if...
Hey, you relax over there, okay?
Jan will love that. No, I think your mom will take
like
that as a compliment.
Play the sultry Jan Bergman sound again.
Bobcat.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Soon to be married, Jan Bergman.
Is she single?
Congratulations.
No, she's engaged.
She's engaged, yeah.
Yeah, she's getting hit.
And you're married. Why.
I can hear why.
All right, Jorge, what do you got?
We've been talking about this home run derby.
Yeah.
Monday night.
Yeah. If we were to be in it,
and obviously they made it shorter. Who would hit the most home runs out of us four?
Out of us four?
The four people on the show? Right. Well, Bergman.
Michael, who do you think?
Probably Bergman.
Yeah, Bergman probably played more baseball than anybody.
I think it's probably Bergman also.
It's either me or Jorge.
I'm not hitting for – when was the last time you went out and hit, Jorge?
Who?
Did
me?
You play?
No, but I with my little brother, I help him.
Oh, right.
All right. Can any of you guys switch it?
No.
I can.
Absolutely.
Well,
if you hit from your – is everybody right-handed?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd win it if we went lefty, but that's the only way I'd win.
Probably.
Yeah, I went to the batting cage last week. I have no power whatsoever. Oh. My goal is to just put the ball in play.
Yeah, slap hitter.
Slap hitter, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think the guy that will hit the first home run is Kirk Morrison.
Oh, he's going to destroy me.
Him or DeMarco.
Yeah, DeMarco, sure. Kirk, one of those guys.
What about
one
Travis?
Travis is trying to sell us a bag of goods that he can't hit.
He says he can't hit, that he never
was a pitcher. But I played golf with Travis, and he just pounds the ball.
Beto's good.
I think it'll be DeMarco or Kirk who hits the first home run.
You guys should put some kind of money on that, like some kind of contest. Who will hit the first home run?
We have mythical money for you to do that on.
What about for the listeners? The listeners should win some kind of prize.
They can make their own mythical
money. To FanDuel.
Yeah.
Go to DraftKings.
Give them some kind of prize. Like predict who's going to hit the first home run.
First shot on the dunk tank at me. Well, actually, it wouldn't have.
All right, Bergman's going to be in a dunk tank Friday.
Yeah, Bergman said some mean stuff about us, so we're making him go in the dunk tank for an hour.
I've done that before. That's nasty.
People loved the Clay interview, by the way, Bergman. Loved the Clay interview.
Clay was great.
Mason and Ireland, state-of-the-art interviewers.
Yeah.
Clay was fantastic.
Yeah, so remember that when you're getting dunked for the 19th time.
Remember when they used to have kissing booths at fairs? How come they don't do that
anymore? Can you?
No, but that's
not right
who
now.
Who would walk up to a stranger
that
and
died,
kiss them?
That died with the pandemic.
Oh, that died long before the pandemic.
We could have a bow booth. Yeah, we could do a bow. Yeah,
Bobcat.
All right, so this I thought was interesting. Daniel Kaluuya did an interview the other day and said that he was
the guy from Get Out?
Yes. So he was done acting. He quit. He was done acting completely until Jordan Peele called him and had him star in Get Out. Now he's a very successful actor, obviously. Have you ever had a moment like this where you were done but got pulled back in?
Thought I was out, and they pulled me back in. Well, when they broke up the show... And when was that? 2004, 2005. I think we both assumed the show was over.
Yeah, assume so.
Yeah, and then they pulled us back in.
When I came back from New York, I did the Olympics for Westwood One, and then I was dropping out of broadcasting. That would have been 2002, the 2002
That was your
Olympics.
Daniel Kaluuya moment?
That was my Daniel. And I was like, I'm done with broadcasting. That's when I went to yoga teacher training. That's when I started teaching yoga classes.
Are you certified to teach yoga now?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you should lead the stretching on Friday night.
I should lead the
Clinton.
Absolutely
should. Clinton. You're certified. Clinton's just a handsome guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I should lead the stretching. Down dog, everybody. Let's go.
I disowned my family, but they went back anyway.
What do you mean?
Wait, what?
When I was done with my family, but I went back.
Oh, to the Bahamas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, got it.
Okay. That sounds like Clay.
Just total non sequitur.
No, I know what he was saying.
Yeah, so in 2013, I was done with all of sports radio completely.
Really?
I know you would have been so upset.
This was after you did 12 to 15 at Fox, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, after that, I came back from
Hawaii. Is there a way we can transport you back to 2013?
Do you have something to do that with?
A time machine?
Yes.
Why did you come back?
Why'd you come back?
So like, I was working in a restaurant, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to get into like restaurant management and do that kind of thing.
God. He would have been corporate Greg at the restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I got fired from the restaurant, and I was like, I gotta
do
something.
Did you do something you deserve it, or they were just doing cutbacks?
Some guy was being a jerk to me, and then I kind of picked him up and threw him against the wall.
Jeez.
Well, that is a fireable offense.
That was a fire, yeah.
Physical violence.
Literally picked him up and put him against the wall.
Okay, now, just answer this yes or no. Don't explain. Just say, did he deserve it?
Yes, he absolutely
What did he do?
He was being very annoying and frustrating.
Just annoying and frustrating?
No,
wait,
he was like in my,
if that
in
gets
my
you
face.
Thrown into a wall,
he was
we would have thrown you into a wall last week.
He was calling me an a-hole like consistently and in my face, and I said, if you call me an a-hole again, I'm
going to
do something
about it. Oh, it was Jim Everett, Jim Rome.
And he did it again, and I picked him up and I threw
Remember
him against
Jim
the
Everett
wall.
Said if you to Jim Rome, I don't think he'll call me that to my face. He goes, I think I will, Chris. And he threw him
By the way, that was a compliment.
What, calling Chris Everett.
Chris Everett.
Not she's a great athlete.
I actually see your side of that.
Yeah, she's a great and a champion. Call me Chris Everett all you want.
All right, Chris.
Bobcat.
Yeah, so, compliment.
Chris Everett was really good. All right, what do you got?
Last thing. Kick it off the planet.
All right.
Okay.
We are just
all right, so Michael, he's going to give us two things. We have to get rid of one completely. Okay?
You have to. There is no choice around it.
Yeah, there'll be two things you like. All right, here we go.
Larry David.
Oh.
Or Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, that is impossible.
Very similar. Very funny, very successful.
Dreyfus for me.
Well, Julia is the funniest woman on television.
Has been nominated for more Emmys
than any other person.
Yeah.
But funny without Larry.
Funnier than Carol Burnett?
Yeah. She's,
without Larry, there'd be no Seinfeld.
Without Larry, there'd be no Seinfeld and no Curb.
Yeah.
So I, as much as I love Julia, I would keep Larry and kick Julia. Or what are we calling it? Off the planet.
Off the planet. Kick it off the planet.
You think she's the funniest woman ever on TV?
Statistically, she is. She's been nominated 23.
She's been nominated for the most awards.
23
times. She's funnier than Aunt Esther.
She surpassed Lucille Ball in terms of Emmy nominations.
Because she's had three hit shows.
Yeah, I know. Emmy nominations don't mean you're the funniest.
No, but three hit shows that lasted, what, at least six
years? 5 years each. Yeah,
5 years each.
Were there her shows or was she co-starring?
No. Well, Seinfeld, she was a co-star, and then the other two, she was the star.
All About Christine.
New Adventures of Old Christine.
And then Veep was her. All her. I would kick... sadly, I would also kick Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, boy, that's the hardest one you've ever given us.
That's really tough. If you had to get rid of one, well, you're not a Julie Louis-Dreyfus connoisseur.
I know what she is, but Larry's keeping Larry, man.
Yeah.
Peter Melman, who was one of the executive producers on, I used to play basketball with him.
And another guest on the Culture Pop podcast.
Yeah, great guy. Told me that if you go back and look at Seinfeld, the top episodes, like if you pulled the top 10, they all feature what he called good Elaine. That Julia Louis-Dreyfus had a good role in each of those episodes. He said, the ones I laughed the hardest at are always had good Elaine.
Yeah.
So he gave her a lot of credit for that series.
Costanza was the funniest on Seinfeld.
Yeah, I think if you ranked them in importance, George would actually be one, yeah. Elaine would be two, Kramer would be three, and Jerry would be four.
Yeah, Jerry was the tent pole of the whole show.
Yeah. Leave it up to me, and Julia will be living on the International Space Station.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's harsh.
Spun her right off the planet.
Right. All right, so there's this writer named Sarah Valenzuela. Do you know her?
I don't.
Related to Fernando?
I have no idea. But she's a writer for the LA Times, and she has thrown in with John Ireland in terms of what to do about Shohei Ohtani for the Angels.
No kidding.
We will get to that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.